Amen. Like the psalmist, we can all say, my delight is in the Lord. My delight is in the Lord. Out of all the good things that's ever happened to me in my life, I have to say, my delight is in the Lord. Lord, we are delighted by your amazing goodness and mercies this day that are here from everlasting to everlasting, and you've poured them out abundantly on us, your people. Lord, we find our delight in you. We choose to place our delight in you. I repent of placing my delight in any other source, but tonight, through worship and fellowship with your people, I refocus the source of my delight, and it's in you alone, O Lord, in you alone, O Lord. My joy is in you, my peace is in you, my hope is in you, my eternity is in you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. When we place our delight in him, we can trust him completely. We can trust him completely. I don't know exactly all the things the one Lord wants to do tonight, but I trust him. Anybody else just trust Jesus completely? Completely. I've been privileged to travel overseas a few times in my life. There are some times I pray harder over meals than the other times. Sometimes I pray prayers of thanksgiving, and sometimes I intercede. Lord, you said in Mark 16, we wouldn't eat any deadly thing and it will hurt us. I'm not so sure what is in here. But I trust you. As we worship the Lord tonight, we should have complete trust in him. As Pastor mentioned, he knew us before our mama knew we were on the way. And because of that, we can trust him tonight. He knows exactly what he would like to do in us. Turn with me again to 3 John. I thought maybe I would just keep preaching. Thank you for the kind words, Pastor. What a delight it is to be with Brother and Sister Schumacher. What a special treat it is always for Sherry and me, our opportunity to be with them as well as to be with all of you. This morning, the presence of the Lord was here in such an overwhelming way, similar to when the temple was dedicated. Solomon's temple was dedicated. The presence of the Lord was in such a way that folks just had to stop. And so this morning I had to just stop preaching right there, and we'll pick up with that here tonight. I am so thankful that we have the privilege to walk in truth, not just know the truth, but to walk in truth. Because of the kind of ministry I've had for the last 30 years, there are numbers of people who, for whatever reason, because they find out I've been a professor at a seminary and all that, say, well, I wish I could have the opportunity to study and to know all the things that you know. Tonight I want to affirm that in the house, everyone has the next step in front of them of walking in truth. No one needs to hold their head down in shame saying, I am not valuable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a next step to walk in truth. I'm just asking you tonight, would you just trust the Lord in that leading of the next step? Would you trust him that his word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, will lead us in the way that he would have us to go? He has your good pleasure on his mind. He knows exactly what you need. Lord, as we turn to your word tonight, we turn to it in trust. Lord, there may be some things you prune away in us tonight. There may be some things you add to us tonight. There may be places where you call us to take steps in faith, which we've known for a little while that we needed to take. But tonight is the night that we take that step of truth and we rest completely in your confidence and in your goodness. In Jesus' holy, wonderful, precious, delighted name, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I loved in the truth. Behold, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I prayed for some folks this morning, and I prayed in my own spirit, Lord, heal my soul so you can heal the rest of me in line with that. I rejoice greatly, John the Elder says to Gaius, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I don't know what your experiences will be this week. Don't know what the Lord has for you tomorrow. But I know that all of us can have a delightful tomorrow if we'll just take a step in truth. You may have to make some critical decisions this week, but just take that step as a step of truth, and joy will be ours. Beloved, you did faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren as or and to strangers. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. This morning we talked about the apostolic wish and how we wanted the prosperity, the follow, the goodness of our soul. Our world preaches and teaches a prosperity doctrine where some people think the goal is to have those good things. But the Apostle John is letting us know that the goal is having a soul which is so healthy. Amen. Everything about us has to be delightful. Amen. Has to be delightful. One of my dad's appointments to me when I was his assistant years ago in upstate New York, he appointed me to go every week and have a Bible study and a prayer meeting with a lady that was suffering from rheumatoid arthritis back in the day when they had no medications, and she was just crippled up in so much pain. And as a 21, 22-year-old, I felt a wee bit bothered by that appointment. What good can come out of this? The Lord is choosing not to heal, so, Dad, can't you give me something else to do today? Maybe somebody else has been there before. The Lord asks you to do something. You say, got anything else? The simple thing in front of me doesn't seem to have a consequence or a conclusion to it. But I found out very quickly that when I went to minister to this elder lady, I was the one receiving the ministry, not her. I walked in. She had not walked for years. I could step outside and smell the flowers in the springtime. Her home smelled of decay. I could enjoy a meal and feed myself. She would eat simple meals fed by someone else. But there was something that happened when we began to read the word of the Lord together. And in her crippled up state, she could speak of her faith. And I began to realize the health of my soul was more important than the health of my body. And I am so thankful that in this house tonight, there is an opportunity for absolutely every one of us to be completely whole in Him. The Hebrew word for that is shalom. Peace, wholeness, completeness. The name Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city of complete wholeness and peace. And of course, the irony of that is Jerusalem, in all of its years of history, has had more wars than it's had peace. Even tonight, there are walls of segregating, corrugating places and checkpoints where people can step, and certain places where some nationalities can walk and other nationalities cannot. And the city that was supposed to be the city of peace, the place where Yahweh would put his name. In the house tonight, there is someone whose heart has been broken and shattered, and you do not feel peace. But I want to say one more time, the peacemaker is in the house. I just want you to trust him. I want you to trust him to bring healing in your heart before he fixes the circumstances around you. The circumstances destroyed your heart, your spiritual condition. But don't ask him to fix the circumstances. Ask him to restore the healing in your spirit. That regardless of what the storm may be, you can walk with the Prince of Peace in every single situation. We worship him as the Prince of Peace. And how can I worship him, Prince of Peace, when there is not peace in my spirit? So for someone, that was the sermon you need to hear tonight. You can go, I guess. You already got it. There is someone who came, and truly your heart does not know the way of peace. But the peacemaker is here, and he is waiting for you to say, Lord, just bring peace in my spirit. I trust you that you will guide my circumstances. If it's a child that's walked away after you've raised them faithfully, you're going to have to receive healing in your spirit. Sometimes we allow the decisions of others to control whether or not we have peace. Would you just decide with me tonight, oh Lord, you are the Prince of Peace, and I put my peace in your hands. I cannot control what my boss thinks. I cannot control what a coworker thinks. I cannot control what my neighbor thinks. But Lord, this night, would you just put your peace inside of me? Help me know that all is well. That's what I ask of you this night. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you speak peace in my spirit? Someone right now just needs to raise a hand and receive the peace of the Holy Spirit right now where you are. Lord Jesus, you see hands raised all across this building. It is your good pleasure. Before you choose to touch the circumstance, would you speak peace into our heart right now, Lord Jesus? A peace that is not contingent on what happens tomorrow, but a peace that is only contingent on being near you and in you and alive in you. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. The world says peace and peace on every side, and there's war and destruction. For we, God's people, we must know how to walk in peace in perilous times so that we can be a light to the world. But you see, when your world is in chaos, but yet you take steps in peace, the world has to know you have been with Jesus. Remember those disciples on a few days after Pentecost when they were told, you can heal folks, just don't use the name of Jesus. And of course, the response is, we're going to use his name more than we're going to be healing folks, so we ought to obey God rather than man. They had to respond, well, these folks are a wee bit ignorant. They don't know the finer things of the law. They don't know the finer things of Torah and how all those things fit together. But there's this one thing you got to acknowledge. They've been with Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you have the answer for people's questions. That's not what it's going to let them know in the 21st century that you've been with Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you can write your own tracts or you can write a book about these things. What matters is, can you walk in the peace and joy of the Holy Ghost? If so, the world would have to say, they have been with Jesus. I don't know how they make it through, but there's peace and joy in their spirit. John the Apostle, speaking to his beloved Gaius, talks to him and says, you walk in truth. For Gaius, the evidence was there was his hospitality towards others. Gaius had hospitality towards others, faithful service towards others. You see, when we take this truth walk, this truth journey, we have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are evidence that we're walking in truth. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13, you can even speak with tongues of men and of angels, but if you don't have love or charity in your spirit, then you are a bad junior high band. Now, I don't mind junior high bands, but they're really made for 12-year-olds. I don't really enjoy people 40 sounding like a junior high band. I'm not going. Now, if my grandkids are playing in junior high band, I'll go listen, because it's fitting for 12-year-olds. But Paul says, as we mature in the spiritual giftings, when love is in the middle of it, when love is in the middle of it, when love is in the middle of it, when the three things that hold forever, faith, hope, and love, is in the middle of it, everything's going to be all right. Brothers and sisters, your church is gifted for the 20th century, as Pastor, 21st century. As Pastor mentioned, we were destined for this decade. God has a purpose and a plan, but that will only happen if we walk in truth. I'm thankful you all are here tonight, and what a spirit of worship is in the house. But for us to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 21st century, the decade of the 20s that God has in plan, we're going to have to take steps in truth every single day. It's not a Sunday step and a Wednesday step. It's a Monday and a Tuesday step. It's a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday step in truth, and it's contingent on the spiritual gifting that's in you. Gaius have the gift of hospitality. As I mentioned this morning, this letter is short, probably one sheet of papyrus. Gaius was probably the leader of a house church. The church did not use buildings until, about 200 years after this letter is written, is when the church began to use buildings that they called church buildings. So Gaius was probably the owner of the house and the spiritual leader that was there as folks would gather together. And Gaius had a reputation as a man of hospitality. We don't know what his career was. We don't know how much money he had or how smart he was. But this one thing we knew, he knew how to open his life to other people. Gaius did not come by this naturally. He came by this by walking in truth. This was not a natural ability. This was a spiritual ability in him. And because of that, John the Apostle was able to say that the testimony of Gaius was spread around the world because he lived in hospitality. In this room tonight, there are tremendous spiritual gifts. In this room tonight, there is an unbelievable resource of spiritual gifts. I would to God that the scales from our eyes for a moment would drop so that we could see how many spiritual gifts are in this room right here, right now. There are some people who feel beggarly in the spirit, but the Master says, I wish you would let me heal your soul. I wish you would let me touch your heart, because I've got spiritual destiny and spiritual gifts on you, and I'm waiting for you to receive a healing in your heart so that the spiritual release and spiritual authority could be able to flow outside of you. And in this room, if we could just have our eyes open for a moment, we could see what Racine needs. Everything that Racine needs is right here in the house tonight. What every prison needs, and what every university needs, and what every bank needs, and what every city hall official needs is in the house tonight. You might say, Brother Littles, I'm not smart enough to talk to those people. I'm not talking about smarts. I'm talking about a willingness to walk in the truth of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is heavy in the house right now, because God has a destiny for you and he has a purpose for you. If you would let him heal your spirit so you could put your attention on things which are above instead of the things which are in front of you. If I could put my attention on why God put me in the world for this time, he didn't put me here to worry about my next meal or where I'm going to live in my retirement years. He put me here as his son to be able to say a right word in the right place so somebody's life could be touched. Brothers and sisters, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is more spiritual gifting and anointing on your life than you have ever realized. And I'm wondering, should the Lord tarry through the decade of the 20s? If there will be someone who is sitting on a bar stool tonight, by the end of this decade, will be in one of the multiple services you're going to have in this building during the day. By the end of the decade, some of you will be getting letters from people who are addicted to drugs tonight, who are in prison tonight, whose marriages are broken tonight and are afraid that they may have to take their own lives tonight, because you are choosing to walk in truth in the 20s. There are going to be letters written to you saying, I don't know how you did it, but thank you for living on behalf of the King instead of yourself. Because when you walked in light, when you walked in truth, when you walked in holiness, when you walked in hospitality, I saw something in you that my bottle of booze couldn't give me. I saw something in you. I've been to many healers and no healer could do it. But when you took me to Jesus with your life, I was transformed in a moment. I'm wondering, is there anyone in the house tonight desiring to live on purpose in the 20s so that your life can be seen as a witness to our world? That's my desire, Lord. Let your light shine through me. I lament that there are times when I didn't walk as closely or faithfully as, or robustly or wisely as I could have. But in these 20s, I am deciding, and I'm praying that the church decides with me, that it doesn't matter what was before. What matters is what's in front of us. And oh Lord, I'm going to live out spiritual giftings for this season. Gaius did it with hospitality. Now, Scripture tells us specifically that he welcomed those who were on their journey, verse number 6, which were borne witness of your charity before the church, whom if they bring forth on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Gaius had welcomed evangelists. Gaius's gifting of hospitality was to notice in evangelists a spiritual gifting. He welcomed them into his home and he cared for them, because as he used his spiritual gift to care for someone else's spiritual gift, the kingdom was multiplied. The kingdom was multiplied. Here's when you're going to know that Racine has the church ready to explode with God's purposes, is that not only when you know your gift and what God's doing in you, but if each of you know at least the giftings in three other people and you're willing to serve their giftings. Okay? I'll say it again. You need to know your spiritual gift and you need to mature in it. But this is how you know when Racine Church is going to go to a new dimension. When you know and pray for and seek to serve the giftings of someone else. Gaius's gift was to be a gift to someone else who was able to speak a word in a certain place. The Holy Ghost is in the room right now. And right now, I pray that the Lord is revealing to some of you, the other brothers and sisters in this room, that you need to be supporting in prayer every single day. That there's somebody in this room that their ministry, their gift of encouragement, that they have a gift of edification that we see in Romans chapter number 12. They may have the gift of ability to speak to others in crisis moments, but then there's someone else with a gift of supernatural prayer and intercession that you're going to join together with that person with the gift of edification, because God's going to send them into dangerous places and heartbreak places, and they are not going to be sustained unless brothers and sisters are there holding them up in prayer. I'm wondering if we, the people of an almighty God, will walk in our gifting, but we will also serve other people's gifting. Romans 12 also says that there's the gift of giving. There are some people who have the gift of administration of giving. Well, some of us may have resources to be able to give to those people who know how to use those gifts in the right way at the right time. All kinds of gifts in the body. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16, Paul talking about those giftings that are in the body, Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, the body's put together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's what God is doing in the 20s. He's building a church where people are willing to use the spiritual resources and energy and wisdom and strength that they have to support one another. And as we fitly join together, spiritual gifts layering on each other's spiritual gifts, and only one is glorified. The King is glorified. The Lord is glorified. You don't want to be known as a prayer warrior. You want everybody to know He's a God that answers prayer. You don't want to be known as a wise person. You want Him to be known as the God that has every answer. You don't want to be known as one of spiritual strength. You want God to be the one that is glorified by your life. In 3 John, we see the antithesis of Gaius. In verse number 9, his name is Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. He loved to have people bow to him and say how wonderful he was and how honored they were to be near Diotrephes. Says Diotrephes would not only, verse number 10, I forgot to have the media team put up verse number 10. I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, so he won't practice hospitality. Not only that, he forbids other people to practice hospitality. And those who are using spiritual gifts, Diotrephes, push them out of the church. I don't want a church where spiritual gifts work, because when spiritual gifts work, then I am not glorified. But the apostle John was able not to let Diotrephes' evil practices and behavior destroy his spirit. Instead, he chose to walk in the joy of those who would walk in truth. Brothers and sisters, this is an amazing hour for each and every one of us to walk in spiritual gifts and to support each other in spiritual gifts. Would you pray this way this week of June 7, as apostolics, as Christians, we worship on the first day of the week. The Jews worshiped on the last day of the week, remembering creation and remembering the Exodus, leaving the captivity of Egypt. As Christians, we worship on the first day of the week because we anticipate God's blessings all week. We're not here today saying God was good yesterday. Truly He was. But you know why we worship today on day one? This week belongs to Jesus. Everything that happens this week, we're looking forward into this week. We are declaring that this is a God week. This is a week when He reigns supreme. This is a week where His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And oh, we gave gratitude this morning, and oh, what a spirit of thanksgiving swept through the house, and you let me join with you in that spirit of thanksgiving. But we're doing it on a Sunday because we say on this first day of the week, the start of the week, we don't worship on the weekend. We worship on the week start, dedicating this whole week to the Master. I'm wondering if this week of June 7, you will be willing to pray this week, Lord, would you show me my spiritual gifts? And will you show me the spiritual gifts of some brothers and sisters in the church? You see, that's a little bit different than how I frequently pray. Lord, I have this need and that need and other need. But when we've been healed in our heart, we can pray in line with the Word. And with Gaius, we can walk in love which is seen, walk in love which can be observed. And those who observed the love of Gaius, they were strengthened. They could see that when Gaius would touch someone that was hungry, Gaius did not do it because he had to. He did it. This is what the godly way means, godly sort, in verse number 6, after this godly sort, this godly way. He did it unto that person as unto the Lord. When you serve each other, or when you reach out into the community to someone that's hungry or someone that's broken and someone's brow is fevered with disease and you care for them, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. When we open our eyes this week and say, Lord, where are you in the downtrodden? Where are you in the broken? And where are you in the hungry? I can't fix all the hungry, but I can share my meal with one other person. Lord, I can't carry everyone's burden, but would you reveal to me one person where I can care for them? Let your spiritual gifts flow through me into their lives. There's a spirit of expectancy in the room even right now. If we would walk worthy of God, that is a walk which is with Jesus, for Jesus, on behalf of the world. Walking with Jesus, for Jesus, on behalf of your neighbor. If your children aren't serving God, then you walk faithfully with the Lord because they need a home to come home to. They need a place of worship to return to. You cannot be weary and heavy laden. Instead, you got to cast that anxiety on the Lord so that when they come to the senses in the middle of the pen, like the young man did, he said, back in my father's house, everything is still all right and everything is still okay. There's a famine in the land, but I know if I went home, everything's going to be all right. A parent in the house, a grandparent in the house, you got to have some strength in the spirit right now. You need the restoration of the joy of the Lord because someone's looking to you to have the party ready. When they come home, when they come home. Verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such, we might be fellow worshipers in the truth. It's amazing when we worship with others, walking with others, serving with others, we find our purpose and our destiny. Most couples, when they have that first baby, realize life is no longer the same. I had my last night of rest. That is over. Rest will now be those 5 minutes that I don't have to stir the meal. I can rest for 5 minutes and close my eyes. And just a moment at work, 15-minute break, that's where my rest is, because that little one is going to want and to demand and to need care and superintending for that child when they're small. And of course, it shifts and changes with the child's needs. And the second and third kid comes along and you realize life is different. When we start walking in Christ, we have to recognize that all of us stand in need of walking assistance. Walking assistance. Several years ago, I had to have a physical therapist and an occupational therapist come to my home and inspect my house and see if it was safe to walk for people like me, because I couldn't walk for a season. And when I was released from the hospital, I had to use a walker. So they came and said, well, you really need to move that end table away from here, and you need to move that couch over there, because Jim doesn't walk very well. And he's got this old man cart in front of him, so let's just make the place safe for Jim to walk. And so they would tell me how to shuffle along and show me how to slowly turn corners. That's pretty hard when you're used to going where you want to. I have this habit. I don't know if anybody noticed it tonight, but I have this habit. I don't know if it's a good habit or a bad habit, Pastor Portman. I really don't know. Maybe you can help me with this. But when I go to preach, I skip steps on the way up. I don't know if anybody caught on, but I just do it. I know it doesn't look very suave. It's not debonair. But there's something about it. Steps are designed for certain heights, and I'm not that height. And to take each one slowly and deliberately, I just want to get to what I need to do, so steps are to be skipped when possible. Sometimes when we walk, we need a corrective on one side or the other. A shoe may need to be built up on one side so that we can handle the steps. Sometimes a walker was needed, like I did, and then they let me use a cane after I'd used a walker for a little while to assist me and to balance it out a little bit. My princess, she has to have orthopedic inserts in her shoes because of fallen arches, because if she doesn't have those orthopedic inserts, then just 15 minutes of walking and her whole body aches. Somebody in the room knows what I'm talking about. Her whole body aches because she can't walk without that assistance. Talking to a church tonight that God has you prepared to walk in new dimensions and in new ways. But would you let the Holy Spirit help you take those walks? Would you let the Holy Spirit say, you got a little bit of limp there, but if you'll let me, I'll help you out a little bit. I'll hold your hand and I'll walk with you through that difficulty. And brothers and sisters, I would lots rather have a limp and have been with Jesus than to be able to walk strongly on my own. It was Jacob who had wrestled with the angel in the night, and from that night forward, he walked with a limp, but he did so because he had been with a heavenly host. I believe I'm among some people that are willing to receive the assistance of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, so we can walk with his purposes and with his design. A long time ago now, I was one of those butter bar lieutenants, and I was at a summer training thing in New Jersey, and I had just fallen the previous 2 weeks, shattered both radial arm heads and broken an ankle, so I wasn't walking very quickly. I was just getting from point A to point B. A major came and was going by fairly quickly, and he stopped and said, "Lieutenant, you can't walk like that. If you're going to be an officer in this man's army, you got to walk with stride and with purpose." And I said, "Sir, I would love to. Right now, I'm going to shuffle. I will walk again, but right now, I got to shuffle." There's somebody in the house tonight, you feel like you're just shuffling in your walk with Jesus. But would you just take that next step with his assistance? And let hope begin to rise in your spirit. Right here tonight, you may feel like you're shuffling. Right here tonight, you may not feel like you're getting anywhere. But God has purpose and design for you. Let him give you the strength to walk in the path that he has you to go. Do you want prosperity? Then pursue this walk after truth. And that walking after truth is in spiritual gifts. And when we examine our walk, the ways that hinders our walk in the truth, there might be something that keeps us from walking with the stride, the next strength that we need to walk. I'm wondering, is there fear of the unknown in anyone in the house? Because that can hinder your walk of truth. Living in your spiritual fruit and living in your gifting, if you're afraid of tomorrow, you can't walk in spiritual strength and truth. This season of COVID crisis has brought fear to the surface of many people's lives. We proclaim right now with you, our worship is a testimony that our sights are not controlled by fear. Our sights are controlled by the one who already has it settled. So here tonight, we put down fear of the unknown, because in our worship, we said he's the one who holds everything in his hand. Fear is gone. That obstacle of walking in the Spirit is gone. Sometimes I'm self-centered and I want to choose my own way, and that's an obstacle of walking in truth. You can't be selfish and walk in truth. So tonight, in our worship and our hearing of the word, we're saying, "Lord, would you recenter me around your purpose and your design? Jesus, would you once again be the center of everything in me?" Instead of praying, "Lord, this is what I need," I want to pray, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." Instead of praying, "Lord, this is what I lack," let me pray, "Lord, what do you need from me?" I'm going to turn myself out of the center and put Jesus in the center of it. And I'm going to trust him that everything's going to be all right. There may be someone in the house tonight. Circumstances have put you, centered yourself like Diotrephes, has put you in the middle of everything. And Jesus is saying, would you get out of the middle? Let me be in the middle of those things. Let me choose the next step. Sometimes my truth walk is hindered because I'm comfortable where I am right now. I just get comfortable with circumstances where they are. I'm not asking the Lord to make your life uncomfortable. I'm just asking you to recognize that comfort state that you're in right now is a gift from the Lord to free you to walk in truth. That comfortable state doesn't hinder you. That comfortable state, if you've worshiped, it frees you that you're not worrying about those things that are around you and you might have worried about in the past, but he wants you to let those things fade into the background, and into the front can be walking in the fruit of the Spirit, learning long-suffering, gentleness, and meekness and kindness, learning how to use a gift of edification or teaching or a gift of administration. Some of us have been hindered in our truth walk by shame. I can't take a step in truth. I can't take a step in purpose because I failed in the past. And if I take that step, I'm afraid I'm going to fail again. Or people have told me that I'll always be a failure. I can never do anything. Right now, I want you to understand that when you walk in truth, Jesus took all the shame away. If there's anyone tonight hindered by shame, let shame crumple right now. Jesus took your shame and he nailed it to the cross. Your shame doesn't hinder you now. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in the middle of a desert place, and the preacher explained to him the passage of Isaiah. The eunuch says, here's water. What does hinder me now? As I was growing up reading that passage, I thought the hindrance was the lack of water. That wasn't the hindrance. The hindrance was because he was a eunuch. And every place else he went, people said, it's because you're black or because you're a eunuch or because you have this job or you serve that queen. You're not worthy to come in here. But when he saw Jesus was cut, but he didn't open his mouth, and Jesus suffered on behalf of him, the eunuch said, there's nothing stopping me now. My shame doesn't stop me now. I may never be able to shave, and my voice may always be squeaky because I was stolen from my mama's arms and they did that to me. But now in Jesus, I'm not ashamed anymore. I have hope now because Jesus took all my shame. Someone in the house tonight needs to let shame slip away. Because sometimes I hold on to my shame because shame is safer than taking a step in Jesus. Shame becomes, is it Linus? Is that the peanut character that has the blanket? Yeah. Shame is like that filthy blanket with all the motes that float around it. And OCD mamas are just going berserk right now. Little boy's blanket couldn't be taken away to be washed and just floaties going off of it everywhere. But Linus needed that blanket for security. Some of us have walked in shame so long that we don't want to let it go. Because shame protects me from taking the next step of faith. I'm asking someone tonight, would you just give that shame to Jesus? Would you take the risk of surrendering it to him? That no one has a right to demean you or to shame you. Jesus took it all. Fifthly, some of us are afraid of the next step of walk because we're afraid we're going to stand out. We're going to have to walk alone. See, everyone filled with the Spirit is gifted to serve. And in the biblical text, service is the highest place of leading. Okay? You see the turning upside down? Gentiles, Jesus says, Gentiles want to lead by being at the top. Jesus says, not so in my kingdom. In my kingdom, the leader will be like a child. But those who are truly, truly leading, they will serve unto the least. So if you're afraid of stepping out, or if you're afraid of walking alone, because God is going to take new dimensions of ministry out of this congregation, stuff we can't even dream of right now. The Spirit already knows it and has already prepared some folks, Pastor, ready to take those next steps of ministry into this community. He's ready to do it right now. But we're going to have to say, I'm going to take on not a leading role, but a serving role. If you're afraid to lead, that's all right. Just be willing to serve. So find that position of need in society and go in the blessing of the Spirit. You don't walk alone, and the Spirit is what's going to stand out, not you. Sixthly, sometimes we are just tired of trying. We've walked so long, we just want to quit. My faith gets weary because I'm afraid that the years of dedication to serving Jesus, that my labors are going to be wasted and in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse of that very long, magnificent chapter is, your labors are not in vain. Be steadfast and unmovable. Labors are not in vain. You know what that chapter's about? It's about the resurrection. Because Jesus rose again, you're going to rise again. And because Jesus rose again and you're going to rise again, we're going to say, oh, death, oh, death, where did your stinger go? And oh, grave, you don't have a rock big enough to hold me down. Because when the Spirit that quickened Jesus quickens me, I'm coming out no matter how big the rock is on top of me. And because the death and the grave has lost their power, I am free to labor for Jesus right now, even though I can't see any results. So to those who are wearied in well-doing, your labors are not in vain. Take a step again. Walk in truth one more time. Walk boldly one more time. Sometimes we don't take walks of truth because maybe nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. Well, you know one thing that grosses one of my daughters out more than anything else? Anybody need a gross statement? Here's what grosses out daughter number three. Stopping at a stoplight, turning around, seeing their neighbor in the next car, picking their nose. She cannot handle it. Her day is absolutely ruined because there's someone that thinks stoplights are made for picking your nose. While my daughter is parked in her Jeep right next to them, sweet little girl says these things ought not be. Because there are things when we think no one's watching we will do, and there are things when we think people are watching that we'll make sure that we get it right. But Gaius was a man who walked in the Spirit, and because he walked in the Spirit, he knew truth and he walked in truth. When people were watching or when people weren't watching, he was going to take the next step in truth. I'm asking someone this week to recognize the Holy Spirit is watching and blessing and encouraging and sustaining and holding up and nurturing and guiding. When no one else is watching, the Spirit is still leading. Now notice, I'm not speaking that out of anger. I'm speaking that out of hope. Speaking it that the Spirit is always with you and always holding you. It is purposeful and it is mighty. No one else has to see. I'm doing it for the Lord on behalf of my neighbor. Lord, give me the courage and strength to do what you've called me to do, even when no one else notices. Perhaps we need to look at some evidences of not walking in truth. Here's anti-truth walk. As we saw this morning, Satan was anti-truth. He was the father of lies. Here in 3 John, we see that Diotrephes, he was the antithesis of walking in truth. I know when I'm not walking in truth, when my emotions are off. When I spend multiple days in a row with my emotions depleted That's evidence that I'm not walking in truth. Now, as a melancholy, this is a particular challenge for me. But nobody know the trouble I seen. Nobody but the Lord. Part of the gifting of a melancholy is you get to see more junk than other people see. Part of the curse of a melancholy is you get to see more junk than ever people get to see. But if I am not careful, I let the things which I see control that which I feel. And when I'm doing that, that's evidence that I am not walking in truth. You say, well, Brother Littles, I thought truth was about the oneness of God in Acts 2:38. Yep, it's all of that, but the question is, are you walking in it? And walking in it says, the joy of the Lord, that's my strength. My day may not be going well. I may see a world that's rioting on every side and burning cars and breaking into buildings, but that has no control over my joy. My joy is in Jesus, and Jesus abides in me. So I surrender my emotions to the one that's in control of all things. Now, this is not some Pollyanna approach that says everything's just fine. No, it's a recognition that our world is broken. But I know the healer and the healer's in the house. I know there's sorrow, but I know the one that brings hope. So when my emotions are off or my hope is gone, Christmas is last year, thinking of... It wasn't my best Christmas ever, and it wasn't primarily because Mama had just passed away in October. This Christmas was a little bit challenging. Calendar turns to 20, so I'm thinking the next decade. This is before I got an understanding of Harvest 20. I began to think that this decade, the end of this decade, I'm going to be 68. While I was sleeping, I turned old. Yesterday, I was 32, and now the end of this decade, I'm going to be 68. So I'm thinking about Charlie Dickens' cool book about Christmas. Christmas past, got some good stories. Christmas present, my grandbabies are here with me. But Christmas future, 10 years from now, I'm going to be 68. Somebody gonna put me out in a pasture by then. It's gonna happen to me. Other people, it doesn't happen to them. This is what's gonna happen to me. My daughter's gonna be calling me. Dad, did you take your medicine today? This is what's gonna happen at the end of this decade. The end of this decade, another daughter is going to say, Dad, before you get dressed for church, would you send me a picture of that tie, the shirt, and the jacket? Because I saw you on Facebook yesterday, and that's not going to happen again. So either you send me a picture, or I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to pin the right bow tie to the right jacket and the right shirt. I'm going to color code it so you... That's what Christmas future said to me. That was not from the Lord. I'm not talking about my daughter's phone call. I'm talking about my fear. I was allowing an unknown from 10 years away to rob me of my walk in the Spirit now. While I was using a wee bit of hyperbole about what the next 10 years may have, I am not using hyperbole when I say too often we let tomorrow rob my steps of today. I have hope when trouble comes my way. My hope is in the Lord. And I don't know what this decade holds for my body, but this one thing I do know, should my life live through this decade, my soul can be strong in the Lord. I can have purpose and I can have design. When my hope is gone, that's an anti-truth walk.
Prejudice or pride or devaluing others comes my way. That's an anti-truth walk. When I don't see value in my own life, that's an anti-truth walk. When I don't follow and enjoy the commands and the ways of Christ, that's an anti-truth walk. When I walk holy because someone says I must, instead of walking holy because I get to. When I walk holy because I'm afraid of being kicked out of the Jesus group, instead of walking holy because it's my delight to follow Jesus. It's my delight to think like Jesus. It's my delight to act like Jesus. When I'm following commandments because I have to instead of I get to, that's an anti-truth walk. There are some apostolics that walk anti-truth holiness. When they say, I wouldn't do this, but I have to, that's anti-truth holiness. The true walk of holiness says, my holiness is from the Lord. He already calls me holy. Now I'm free to start acting like it. I have a friend of mine in Yukon Territory. He pastored in Whitehorse, Yukon. He met this young man on the streets of Vancouver who was a drug addict, a First Nationer, a Native Canadian, First Nationer, drug addict, high school dropout on the streets of Vancouver. He looked at him and something quickened him in the spirit and he started calling that drug addict doctor. Not making fun of his addiction, not making fun of his dropout status, but he started seeing something in that young man. When I was up there several years ago, that young man was no longer a drug addict and he was no longer a dropout. He was the chief social worker for the whole province. The whole territory of Yukon. He was over every single social worker in the territory. As a matter of fact, he made some decisions like, why should kids go shuttle from divorced parents' house to divorced parents' house? Let the kids have the house. When it's dad's weekend, he comes to the house. When it's mom's week, she comes to the house. Why should the kids have instability when parents are making the decisions? I thought that was pretty brilliant. But you see, someone looked at the young man and says, I see something in you. I'm asking you tonight to hear the Spirit of God. God has something in you and in all of us, and none of us are fully walking in the fullness, the full dimension of what God's doing. Holiness is not because I have to. Holiness is doing that which He has already called me to be. Holiness is walking that which He has already calls me. When Jesus sees me, He sees me through the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus sees me, He sees me as holy. So I want to talk holy. I want to think holy. I want to act holy, daily living holy. Why? Because He already sees me like that. He already sees me good and pure and clean. He already sees me strong and mighty in His presence. That's why way He sees me. Now I get to live like that. That's walking in truth of holiness. Some people don't make a commitment. That's anti-truth. Some people are not able to share their life. That's anti-truth. Some people lack stability. James put it this way, those who put their hand to the plow and look back, they are not fit for the kingdom. That's anti-truth. But tonight we can walk in truth. You are a Gaius waiting to break out. Everyone in this room tonight is a Gaius, ready to find your apostolic, spirit-induced stride. This is the season to take steps the way you were designed to take them. When your mama held you in your arm and your granny pinched your cheek and said, they're so cute, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords looked down and said, but you haven't seen what I'm going to do through them in 2020. And in 2021. You think they're cute. I don't see cuteness. I see kingdom authority, and I see kingdom power, and I see work of the Spirit, and I wish they would understand what I've already organized and destined them to be. This is a decade when God has situated us to walk in truth and celebrate that which God has called us to be. So tonight I'm asking us, I think we did step one this morning. Step one, I think we surrendered to truth this morning. I think this morning we repented of some stuff. I repented of some stuff. And I gave you some things a while ago you might need to repent about and put those down. I have a need to see the consequences of my work. And maybe there's some other men in the room too. You need to know that what you do at the end of the day, it's finished. I enjoyed building houses with